Go to Luke chapter 6. This one is very, what I would call, more fundamental, and I wish more people understood it. The lesson is on giving. There's a couple of mindsets I would like to change when you think about giving. Oh, you're going to teach on money. That's an aspect of it, but that's not all of it. If you've heard lessons on giving before, could you teach somebody? If you led somebody to the Lord and somebody was asking you about money and Christianity, could you explain it to them with the Bible? We live in a day where TV preachers and TV churches and cloud churches and all this garbage has totally twisted the idea of money. So all money-grabbing churches. Somebody's got to straighten it out, because it's not the way they... Just send in your money and God will bless you and all this garbage. And several have gone to jail for it, and I'm glad they have. They're crooks. But when that's all that the world has heard, and they've not heard sound teaching on it from the Bible, could you explain it to somebody to say, that's wrong, this is right? Look at Luke chapter 6, look at verse 38. Ready? We're going to start here this morning. Verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." The illustration Jesus is saying here is, if you take coffee or any sand or anything, he says, as you fill a cup, he said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, putting more on so that it runs over. If you give, it shall be given back to you running over, which is the principle of, if you give to God, God gives you back more. Here's what I'd like to straighten out. That's a principle in giving that does not just carry over with money, but every aspect of your life. Yes, it's talking about money, but have you heard of the three T's? Your time, your talents, and yes, your money is your treasure. So yes, if you give money, if you give it properly, you say, what do you mean by that? I can't meet every need in the church. Let's say a van engine blew next week. We needed to raise $2,000 to rebuild the van engine. There are some people in the church that could pay for it all right then. There are other people in the church that could help do it, but couldn't do all of it. They could give like $50 towards it. They could give $75. They could give $100. Here's what I call proper giving. I know as well as I'm sitting here, I cannot financially support every need of the church by myself. But as we have needs, if I yield to the Holy Spirit, there are some things God will tell me to give to. That's proper giving. Let's say something caught on fire and we had to rebuild part of the church or something like that. I don't know. If we presented a need, here, this happened, we weren't expecting it, it's $3,000, we need to raise this much, and let's say I passed out a piece of paper and just say, I'd like you to pray and I'd like you to figure out what can you give above the tithe to meet this need. Then we'd pass them all in and we'd see how much we have and we would see if we could go forward with it. In a church that's based off volunteer giving, have I seen giving abused? I told that man, I said, if you keep giving to everything and your family keeps suffering, you're going to get bitter against God and you're going to get out of church, because after all, you gave to the Lord, but your family suffered. He goes, I never thought about it that way. I said, before you give, you need to pray to the Holy Spirit and you need to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Am I supposed to do anything? Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God wants you to do it. God said, here, do this much, do this much. Talk to the Lord about it. If you give properly with what God wants you to give, there will be times God touches your heart. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's a wonderful verse that applies not just to money or your treasure. It applies to giving. Whatever time you give to the Lord, He always gives you back more. I'm talking going to church, serving the Lord, going soul winning, as a Sunday school teacher, usher, greeter, cleaning, any maintenance that you do. It takes time. Okay, you volunteer to mow the yard. Great, it takes time to do that. That's you giving to the Lord. And whatever you give, Luke 6:38 says, God will give back to you. It's a promise of God. If you give your talents, everybody in our church has a gift. that God gave you to profit the body. God brought you here. God saved you to benefit the body of Christ, the local church. Our church has everything that it needs to sustain itself. We don't need to take money from the government. We don't need to, you understand? We have everything that's needed. God put them here, and when God put you in the church, He gave you gifts when He saved you. That's in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. That's different than the lesson this morning, but what I'm trying to tell you is you can read about that later. But God's given every one of you at least one gift. Some of you, God's given two. Some of you, God's given three gifts. As a pastor, I'm supposed to be working on all of the gifts. But you as a Christian, you're supposed to find out what gifts you have. Ruling, serving, giving. Giving is a gift. When you give of your time, God gives you back time. When you give of your gifts for the church. For instance, we had one man in our church when I needed this bus out here taken care of. The engine and the oil and stuff. He used his skills to help with that. Many of you, you use your skills or your talents to profit so we don't have to pay somebody to come in and do it. Like, we don't have a plumber in our church. That's the only thing I've had to call for help. You give your time and your talents to the Lord, God gives you back. That's a principle of giving that's in the Bible. You need to understand, the tithe, it means tenth or 10%. That's what the word, you know, somebody called it the tithe. But the tithe means 10%. It is first found in Genesis 14:20. It is the smallest amount given in the Bible. The reason I'm telling you that is this. There's a lot of teaching out there that says, well, yeah, but the tithe is part of the law. Go to Leviticus 27. Let me see. Verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. 10% of what you make, 10% of what God prospers you in, is the Lord's. God says the tithe belongs to Him and it's holy. Don't touch it. When I got saved and I would take my paycheck to the bank, you know, this is before auto deposit and anything electronic. I'd take my paycheck to the bank. Every time I deposited it, I would move the decimal point over one, round up to the nearest 10, and I'd say, I need this much cash. Then when they would give it to me, I took my tithe out right when I made the deposit in the bank. And you got the net and the gross. Net's after taxes. Gross is everything. You always tithe on the gross. In other words, God's going to get my money before Uncle Sam does. I don't tithe off of the amount after taxes. God gave it all to me. I may gripe about the taxes. I may think the taxes are unfair or too high. Doesn't matter. I go to the gross amount. I move the decimal point over. And then I would take that amount and I would put it right in my wallet. It went the same place every week. Went right there. I didn't fill out offering envelopes because I didn't care, and I didn't tithe. I didn't make enough to tithe to fully get the discount. On the taxes, you know what I mean? You got to give so much to do that. I knew it was like way up there, and it was like way out of my bounds. I didn't even fill out tithing envelopes. I just knew I was supposed to tithe. When that plate would come by, grab that chunk, put it in there, pass the plate, and I was done. I was tithing on the gross. I took the gross, made $400, and I moved the decimal over to the left, one, and that always told me what that was 10% of that amount. It'd be $40. If you're tithing correctly, I made this statement in church, and it sucked the air out of the room. When we give the end of the year tithe report, that's if you're giving on envelopes. If you're not giving on envelopes, if you're doing what I was doing and dropping cash in the plate, then we'll never know what you give. If you're keeping track of it, put as a deduction on your tax, and if you're itemizing it on your taxes, you can take it off as charitable giving. The benefit of filling out a tithing envelope and putting your name on it is if you use cash. If you fill out a check and you put in the memo, this is how much is my tithe, this is how much is the offering, whether it's missions or building fund or whatever it is extra that you're giving over the tithe, then when they count the offering, it goes under your name. You don't have to fill out the envelope unless you want to put the check in the envelope so nobody sees. Some people will fill out the check, put it face down on the plate. If we give you a giving record at the end of the year, if you've given properly, if you gave properly, your giving record should show what you made for the year by moving the decimal point if you gave properly. So you take your tithing record and you move it over. Is that how much I made last year? Is that what I'm being taxed on? Is that my tax bracket? If you can't do this, then something's not right, because the tithe means tenth. I love teaching this because that tithe, the 40 out of the 400, God says it's His. It belongs to the Lord, and it's holy. There's three things in the Bible that God says do not touch because they're mine and they're holy. You can look it up yourself. But the first fruit, first 10% of whatever they picked off the tree or whatever they harvested, God says that's holy. The firstborn, God says the son that openeth the matrix, the firstborn son, God says, belongs to me. Do not touch it. Does that mean every firstborn son has to go into the ministry and be a preacher? That's not what that means. But there's three things in your Bible that are holy that God says they belong to me. The first fruits, the firstborn, and then we just read the verse that says the tithe. Don't touch it. If you touch it, if you use it, God says then it brings a curse. Go to Malachi chapter 3. A lot of people don't teach on this because they're scared they're going to be labeled as money-grabbing preachers. But wait a second. After we read Malachi chapter 3, I like what one pastor said. I'll never pastor a church of millionaires, so I teach my people how to be rich. How can you manage your finances in such a way that God can help you and bless you instead of curse you? If you don't know what I'm saying, look at Malachi chapter 3. These verses ought to be marked in your Bible, and you think about it. I'm going to help you here. Look at verse number 7. We'll start here. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. So they've gotten away from God, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye, the Jews, said, wherein shall we return? God is saying, you've backslidden, you're away from me. If you will return to me, then I will return to you. You can become spiritually strong again. Then the question is raised, okay, Lord, how do we return to you? And notice how God answers the question. Look at verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. There's a lot of key words here. I've taught on this in the past. If you go to our sermon page, every pastor has a message he preaches on tithing. I've taught on it several times since I've been here. The word rob is different than the word steal. If you steal something from somebody, you snuck it. You took it when they weren't looking. That's stealing something. If you look up the definition of rob and you ask any police officer, what's the difference between robbing and stealing? Stealing is doing something taking something when they're not looking. Robbing always includes an instrument of force and threatens bodily harm. It can be a knife, can be a gun, can be a club. But God says, you didn't steal from me when you kept the tithe. You robbed me. You threatened me with physical harm, and you used an instrument of force. And that is why, because you kept the tithe or you did not tithe, God says, now look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, stop. Verse 9 says, if you don't tithe properly, your financial area is cursed. That means it never really balances out. You're always behind. I could take you to Leviticus 25, 5 through 7, and Leviticus 26, 32 to 34. You can look it up yourself. But whatever you don't give that belongs to God, God will take it whether you give it or not. You need to understand that. There's no such thing as somebody that doesn't tithe. There's just those that tithe willingly, and there's those that where God takes it. And God has all types of ways of taking it. I'll show you some of the blessings of tithing, but when you tithe, God makes things last longer. God's going to say here in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. In other words, I'm careful about what I give to. We were helped by United Way. We were helped by the Red Cross when our house flooded. I'm not against all charitable organizations. But when I give my money, I don't give to secular organizations. I give to my local church. Now, I know some people, they're like, I give charitably this way, and this way. But your tithe, 10% of what you make, isn't supposed to go to a secular Jerry's Kids. Your tithe is supposed to go to the storehouse to do what? Fund the work of the Lord. The church is based on voluntary giving. What are we going to do if you don't tithe? Nothing. I don't chase anybody down. They don't get a letter in the mail. We noticed you have stopped your... We don't do that. The tithe has to go scripturally to the church. And I know some people, they go, I give charitably, and they don't pay attention to... I'm not against you giving to the Red Cross. I think you need to know what your money's going for. How do they spend it? That helps. And make sure there's no corruption in the unit. But if you want to give to it, just don't give your tithe to the Red Cross. Your tithe, the Bible says, goes to the storehouse, which is the church. Keep on reading here and watch what happens. That there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. You know what's supposed to happen in a society that doesn't criminalize church and giving and stuff? There was no welfare program here. Welfare is only since FDR, World War II. What's supposed to happen in a Bible society of Christians is people come, they give to the church, and when people in the community need, they go to the church for food. That's how they did it before World War II. You give, and if you want, in other words, welfare is a forced... What's wrong about welfare is it's socialism, and it forces me to give to the needy without my choice. That's stealing. That's socialism. God's plan has been literally for thousands of years, and everybody knew this till welfare came along. When you needed something, if your house burned down, if whatever, you say, well, before insurance has only been since the 1930s and mafia. Insurance is all mafia related. What did they do before insurance and welfare? What happened when tragedy happened? The church, God says here, that there may be meat in my house. For what? For the needy. And then the people of the church know what they're giving to. You give to your taxes, you have no idea who's getting your money. So that they can do drugs and fornicate and all that other stuff, so you can fund immorality. That's the depressing part of our tax system. But proper giving... I want you to see one more verse here. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's only one area in the Bible where God says, I want you to put me to the test. I want you to prove me in this area. And proper giving is done by faith. And I've watched many Christians do it for the first time, and it's exciting to them, and it should be. But they're scared. They've never done it. You mean you 10%? God says give 10%, and God says prove me, put me to the test, and watch me give back to you. That's the faith. Look at verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Who's the devourer? The destroyer is Satan. God says, I will make things last longer. Your tires will last longer. Your clothes will last longer. Who is it that God says, when you properly tithe, when you properly give, the curse is taken off of your finances, and God says, then I help you. And the old statement goes like this. Well, if I pay my bills and I just don't have enough to pay God. Number one, make sure your bills are legit. Make sure you're not spending your money foolishly. Somebody said, well, my cable bill is $120. The way I've made my budget out for years is my tithe is at the top. Because God says, that's holy, don't touch it. So I have my total that I make, my tithe, my taxes. Then I determine what I can give in an offering. And everybody can give over the tithe something. Because what did God say? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. In other words, there's something over the tithe. There's something over, out of $400, there's something over 40 that you're supposed to give. That's between you and God. That's nobody's business but you. Oh, I can't give anything else. a penny? Yes, you can. Everybody can give something over the tithe as an offering to God for thankfulness, because God mentions both, right? Now, see, there's wiggle room on the offering. There's no wiggle room on the tithe. Nickel, dime, dollar, $5. No, everybody can give an offering. But understanding this in your Bible, in our day and age, I need God's help with my money. I want God's help. How do you be in an independent, fundamental Baptist church that's supposed to be teaching the Bible and not understand the tithe? This is not like advanced. This is very basic, fundamental. You have to understand this. This is something like after you get saved and you learn you can't lose your salvation, baptism, how important church is. Well, giving is somewhere in there as far as one of the things you want to learn. How about this? If you're a businessman and you own your own business, let's say you bought the computer for $100 wholesale and you sold it retail for $250, what's your increase? That means you made $150, right? As a businessman, you have to understand. You tithe off of the increase. This was your cost. Plus this is what you sold it for. This is what you made. Well, the computer, though, it sold for $250. I know, but what you made was $150. That's what you tithe off of. So you would tithe $15 off of that computer you sold. Every businessman has to understand that. JCPenney, Welch's Grape Juice, Chick-fil-A, Kraft Food, all of those men said this: if I want my business to thrive, I don't just tithe, my company tithes. And guess what? They're still around. They're still around to this day and thriving. Why? Because they said, I understand God's principles on giving. And if I want my company to make it, my company is going to tithe off of what God allows us to have increase, and this is how they do it. It wasn't the gross net income for the whole year. It was how did we profit? What are our profits? That has to be taken into consideration. Then there's my tithing and there's my company. That's if you own your own business. This is basic things that literally Christians have known for years, and it's been practiced for years. It's nothing new. Nobody's trying to get anybody's money. If I as a pastor love you and I want God to help you with your finances, then my goodness, I need to teach you so that you can, think right when you get your paycheck. It's not because I'm trying to get more out of you. Come on, everybody, we need to raise $1,000. Lock the doors, pass the plates again. I don't do that. I know some churches that have, and they give their church a bad name. And if you have any questions on it, my goodness, I'll help you with it.